Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Up in the sky. If you are satisfied, nothing more. Take this home with you. Nothing else was. Wake up in the morning. Start your day with this declaration safe. Want to see your world. Want to reach your world. Nothing else. Can't wait to see you in the morning. In the prayer closet. Because nothing else is. So arise, your rest. Pray as we go. Now, that's your testimony. Somebody open your mouth and give them praise, Lord. Somebody say hallelujah because you were with me. He was with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many know that there is only one name with the power of the There is only one name, the power to deliver, and his name is Jesus. It's the name above every name. There's no name greater, no one stronger. Hallelujah. There is only one. There is only one name to power. The power to save. There is only one name. There is only one name. The power to save. And his name is Jesus. And God saved us. They are dead. He Somebody open your mouth. For the glory of the place. Somebody say, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship you but me. Here's my worship. Thank you, Lord. For all the names. Oh. Here's my, all of my we see all of them. They hear so much. Father, read the see all of them. And Lord, say, I'm
Hallelujah. I will never be silent. I will always worship the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come into your presence, O God, to bow down and worship at your feet. O God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy, your grace. Come this morning with a heart of repentance, asking you to look upon us in the frailty of our stature. Touch us with your hand of love, your hand of compassion. Oh God, do not give us what we deserve, but give us what we need today. Father, we need to hear from you today. We need to hear a word that would propel us into your presence, deeper into your presence, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to reach out and touch those that are unsaved this morning, oh God. Draw them to you. You said no one can come except you draw them. So we ask this morning, Lord, that you will draw many from near and far, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. Draw them to the altar of salvation this morning. And we pray, oh God, as the woman of God, she's already on the line, come and break bread with us, that we would get a clear understanding of what's going on in the world, so that we can be prepared for whatever the enemy is trying to throw at us, oh God. We know, oh God, that you are watching over us and that you have given your angels charge over us, oh God, so we are protected. But Lord, we are looking out for those, the others that don't know you, that are not protected. We ask, Father God, that you shield this morning. Touch the president, touch the vice president. Oh God, we pray that you bring the government to order. Oh God, because you are God of order. You like all things done decent and in order. Lord, we know that many today are not operating in order. They're not operating decency. Oh, God, they believe that they are right, Lord, even when they're not even following the way of God. We pray, Father God, for their hearts, for their minds, for their souls. And, oh, God, we are thanking you right now for saturating the atmosphere with your presence. You have sterilized the atmosphere. You have put it into the atmosphere. You have taken complete control of everything that you have made for your glory. Father, we come this morning just to glorify you, to honor you, to lift up your people, oh God, and terrify the enemy. The woman of God, Prophetess Kirsi, on the line, and she is ready to go forth. So without further ado, I'm inviting her to you, presenting her to you, and I'm releasing her to go forth and do whatever thus says the Lord. Come on in, Prophetess Kirsi.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lamb of God, we praise you. We praise you, Lamb of God. We praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost that yet help our infirmities. Thank you for the help you've given us, Lord, to perfect all that concern us. Hallelujah. God, we bless you, 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 Almighty, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you. You are worthy of my praise. We praise you corporately today. We thank you for the set praise in the heart of the worshipers all globally. We thank you for those, oh God, that you've set throughout the four hemispheres, God, the erection of the gates of the Most High pillars. We thank you, Lord, for those who stand in the gap and those who have made up the hedge, for those who have gone far from you, Lord, those who are AWOL from their purpose. We thank you for these that are yet standing on holy ground, that are standing, God, armed and ready and standing in defense of the gospel. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Almighty God, for you're worthy of our praise today. And we enter your
Lord, we praise
in
you.
This place, oh God. Hallelujah, to satisfy you. Hallelujah, we come and seek to delight your heart today. Hallelujah, and let you know that we are with you, Lord. Our hearts beat for you. We pant and we thirst. Hallelujah for your waters. Oh, for the courts of the Lord to be called upon. Oh, God, with the glory that you prophesied that shall be revealed to all those who have kept their bodies in sanctification and honor. We honor you and we lift up our bodies to you. Our body belongs to you, Lord. Our whole body belongs to you. My mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit, all that I am and all that I'm not and all that I hope to be, God, I pray that you keep us in your hand and let nothing present, nothing coming, no beast or any other creature separate us from the love. God, yes, in the name of Jesus, my soul extol you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul extol you today. I bless you for your presence, your presence, your presence,
you,
hallelujah, your presence overwhelms my soul, and I thank you that your presence overwhelms my soul, sweep over our souls today, sweep, Lamb of God, sweep over our souls, let the blood of God, the blood of Jesus run its course up. Oh, over the uncovered areas in our lives, in the name of Jesus, fill our cups today. Fill us till we overflow, oh God. We want to run over with your glory. We pray, oh, that you'll pour out more of your spirit upon us and in us. Let it illuminate through us that the people, as we go forth in the marketplaces, in the religious places, God, in the political places, God, in the low places of the earth, the high places, that they will feel the power of the world to come approaching in the name of Jesus. Let it radiate to our bodies. Let it radiate to our bodies. Let the people see a great light. Let them hear the voice of the Almighty. Connect it to our vocals. Help us to speak, God, to speak soundly in the name of Jesus with clarity, with understanding. Let there be understanding in all the gettings and the hearers of the word today, those who have set their ears toward the heel of the Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you anoint their ears afresh. That their ears, God, hallelujah, will be swift to hear and to hear your voice in this day of great noise, of all the sounds and the waves of the waves of roaring, God, the animal kingdom and all the beasts and the creatures and every living thing that cries out to you, that's making noise, that's crying out for help and deliverance. We pray that your people will hear your voice today. Oh, God, help us right now. Hallelujah, as we prepare our hearts, Lord, to sit in your counsel. God, to stand upon this watch, we pray to make it strong. Oh, cause us not to be moved from this place, nor to be distracted. In the name of Jesus, but help us to hear you accurately. In the name of Jesus, to hear you, Lord. Oh, God, above all other voices, we pray that you would set this word in our heart. In the name of Jesus, and all that coincide, all that is here, let it all ring together as we share this word today. Oh, have your way today. We pray, Jesus, that you would open the eyes of the people and turn those who are yet sit in darkness or sit in great ignorance from darkness to light, from the power of Satan back to you. Bring them back to the glory that you said we had with you even from the beginning before entering our mother's womb. We thank you for giving us an opportunity, oh God, to return unto you. Oh, we seek the returning unto you today. Oh, have your way. We pray that you would lift up the hang-down head, strengthen those who are feeble, those, oh God, who have a broken heart, healed today, healed wounded spirits. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would lift the countenance of the fallen, God, anoint their face and their heart with the oil of gladness above their sorrows. Help them to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that your hand is with them. Oh, God, we just want to tell you thank you for every open door. Hallelujah. To do your will and to speak in your behalf. We pray, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, that you would break yokes and destroy fetters and chains and root out and pluck up everything you did not plant in us that was spoken out of a seducing spirit planted by the workers of iniquity and anything that have proceeded from the throne of iniquity, twisted teaching, distorted sermons, God, twisted words. Oh, God, we pray to be delivered from genealogies and fables, Jesus, or the slight of men at any and every level of enticing words of man's wisdom. We pray that there will only be, God, demonstration of the Spirit and power in the name of Jesus, and that there will be tenderness of toward your word today. Break up fallen ground. Oh, give us a heart of flesh, a heart, oh, God, to receive infallible proof of your word, to receive that incorruptible seed, that we may conceive the things necessary for our continual survival in this final day. God, help us right now as we seek and put our hands to the plow. God, we pray that you help us to hold on and hold out and give us stamina to endure to the end, that nothing will shake us or move us or cause us to draw back into perdition or any other unlawful deed. We pray, Jesus, that you would sanctify the loins of the mind and cast down every imagination and all the imagery and all the things, oh, God, that exalt itself against you, bring down, oh, God, that prideful spirit, bring down the children of Leviathan, who you said through Job, God, and through the word of God, that they are the children of pride. They will not humble themselves. God, we pray that you cause to be in submission all that is proudful and arrogant, heady, high-minded, lofty, in the name of Jesus, unreasonable. Jesus, God, we pray, oh, Lamb of God, that the blood of Jesus will dominate these airways, that will block all the powers of the devil, block the fivefold ministry of Satan, block the walls, block every electronic device, every angelic demonic device, God, that will all cause noise or distraction or release a frequency to hinder or to overthrow or to set back or cause stammering of the lips. Oh, God, a robotic sound on this line in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need you. We need you to help us in this war, God, to give us good counsel today, good strategy that we may continue to war a good warfare in this hour and win. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, help us to move up. Oh, come on up, Lord, and to move out in the name of Jesus above the serpent's line. Help us, God, oh, in this word to move us to that place where the wicked one touches us not. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, we need you today. We need you today to stir us like we've never been stirred before. Let us feel what we have not felt. Let us hear what we have not heard. Oh, God, let it enter our hearts, the things that you have prepared for them that love you. And we love you today, and we lift our voice to worship you. Our soul rejoices for your very presence that rests upon our triune. Thank you for drawing us, oh, to this place today, and we ask you to have your way, oh, in the old and the young, in our babes and our sucklings, the lamb and the sheep. Pray for a mighty rebuke of evil and goat spirits, and antichrist spirit, anti-fighting spirits, God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray right now, God, that all things would be subject to thy word, for thy word is truth. Let it be so. In Jesus' holy name, we pray that every one of our spiritual senses would go into exercising, be exercised, develop a little more, all through the teaching of your word, that we can discern both good and evil. Oh, of this day, hallelujah, oh God, pour out meat offering, pour out the drink offering, all in wine in your healing balm, that every need would be met on this line, hallelujah, both naturally and spiritually. We will give you glory, honor, and praise. We pray for the guidance of your spirit, that it will speak to us and say unto us what it has heard, oh God, that we may speak your word line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the only name whereby we must be saved. Let it be sanctified in this atmosphere, in the name of Jesus. And we will be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise as we enter thy word. Thy word is truth. Let it be magnified, the lamp at our feet, that we see the direction we must take and where we stand. We pray that we stand circumspectly before you, and we'll walk in as wise and not as fools in this present day. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be just like him. I want to be just like him. I want to be just like him when he comes. Oh, he's coming on a cloud. Every eye shall see him. I want to be just like him when he comes. Oh, I want to be just like him. I want to be just like him. I want to be just like him when he comes. Oh, he's coming on a cloud. Spiritual, I shall see him. I want to be just like him when he comes. Oh, I want to live just like him. I want to live just like him. I want to live just like him when he comes. Oh, he's coming on a cloud. Every eye shall see him. I want to be just like him when he comes. Oh, I want to teach just like him. And I want to pray just like him. I want to teach just like him when he comes. Oh, he's coming on a cloud. Every eye shall see him. I want to be just like him when he comes. Oh, I want to love just like him. I want to love just like him. I want to love just like him when he comes. Oh, he's coming on a cloud. Every eye shall see him. I want to be just like him when he comes, when he comes, when he comes. Every eye shall see him standing on the cloud. I want to be just like him when he comes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be just like him when he comes. Praise God. And I want to sing another little praise that's ringing in my heart for several days now. And I heard some old sanctified mothers years ago in my second phase of development in the Lord, moving in out of the 34 realm, the elementary realm of things, into the 64 realm, going into middle school like level of learning the things of the kingdom. And the mother used to break out and say, keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. All the time, Lord. All the time, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. In the spirit, in the spirit. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Oh, in the spirit, in the spirit. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. In my home, Lord, in my home, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. In my home, Lord, in my home, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Going out, Lord, coming in, Lord. My mind in the spirit all the time. Going out, Lord, yeah, coming in, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. On the streets, Lord, in the church, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. On the streets, Lord, and in the church, Lord. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. In the spirit, Lord, in the spirit. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. I want it in the spirit, in the spirit. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. When I'm sick, Lord, when I'm sick, Lord, keep my mind in the spirit all the time. When I'm sick, Lord, when I'm sick, Lord, keep my mind in the spirit all the time. In the spirit, Lord, in the spirit, keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Oh, in the spirit, in the spirit. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Glory to God. Keep my mind, Lord. Keep my mind. Keep my mind. Keep my mind in the spirit all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. Keep my mind in the spirit. Glory to God. All time. I want to be in the spirit to win this war that he declares that we fight not against flesh and blood. So if we are not fighting against flesh and blood, then we are fighting spirits. And God knows in order to stand in this day and to fight what we are fighting, we're going to need something from God to fight what it is that's spiritual, that's not visible to most, and you really can't see kingdom things or see the kingdom as St. John 3rd chapter told us. If a man is not born again of the water and spirit, he got to have a new spirit. He got to have help in his spirit, the human spirit, to fight against the adversary who was made a little higher than us, because, you know, the scriptures say that we were made a little lower than the angels, and so we're going to need a wisdom above those guys, because I'm telling you, we're dealing with some brilliant entities, some geniuses, what they deem as genius or super brainy, some of the smartest above man, because they've been privileged to see things and to hear things that we are not privy to. Praise God. Amen. Unless you are like Elijah and Enoch, they have been privileged in their present lifetime and to go ahead of us and to see what our eyes have not seen, neither ears have heard. And it entered Enoch's them heart, the things that God has prepared for us if we just keep holding on and fighting the good fight of faith, because we know we are fighting something, someone that really hates us. Oh, they're so full of jealousy and envious of humanity because we yet have space to repent, a space to change, a space and time to turn around right now and get back to the Maker, the Creator, your God, amen, who is so willing with his arms open, extended, by way of the church and by the way of many evangelists and revivalists everywhere. That's the arms of God being extended to the world, saying, come, 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 come on now, amen, because the warfare game, the game of war, praise God, we're in the finale of it, and the games of thrones, amen, that have chosen sides with the devil and have gone after the devil, amen, they're working on, they're targeting every mind now. Satan's target is the mind, to persuade the mind. If he can get your attention and just get you to listen to him a little bit so he can drop a little leaven on it or twist it or get a little iniquity working in the mind frame of each individual that got some sense, and that ain't like the fool that's saying in his heart that of no God, but Satan is talking to mind, and his weapon today is lies. His weapons are lies, lies. And your only defense is to have the Spirit of God. It's going to take one of your only defenses, I would say, is to get in that word. Is to get in that word. Your defense would be a word. It's a sword. It's one of your weaponry. Praise God, and you're going to need the Spirit of God in this hour. It's going to take spirit to fight spirit, because we're in a real in-game battle, I'm telling you. Well, you can see with all the chaos, the catastrophes, the disasters, the transformation, the transgender changing, and the psychological breakdown, the moving to the zombieism, making people mindless or seriously conscious, or bringing them into a delusion, or keeping them asleep, on snooze, or slumbering some kind of way. It's in that mind realm, the central control power source in the top of the body. It's the head. The head means the And having understanding means a whole lot, but you got to have the word of God sealed on that mind in order to maintain sobriety and soberness or seriousness, or to have clarity, or even be able to think with sense these days, because, oh, there's a great erase going on, working up where people won't have no conscience at all, making this searing them, that they'll be insensitive and immune and loveless and without natural affection. I'm telling you, there is a war for yours and my attention, and we're going to need the Spirit of God. And so I sang that song, and it's been ringing in and out of my heart on this week, on my mind. Keep my mind in the Spirit, God. Keep my mind in your word, because there's so many things that want to pull us down from our watches. Praise God. We've been set upon a watchtower, and you know how they did Nehemiah, and all through the word of God, you can see the opposition and the competitors, and that's trying to distract the men and women of God from their purpose. And boy, I'm telling you, you got to make time for God every day to stay steadfast in his will, and focus on your purpose, what you've been to do. And there's a number on it, a time frame on how long you have to get it done. And time is running out. The lifespan and time has been shortened. And we've told you in time past that every time you see a blood moon, whether it's a full lunar moon, that's a whole 30 days been taken off of the calendar. Praise God. If you see a half of eclipse, a solar eclipse, time been cut off from America in the solar realm, them that rise and go to sleep by the sun, and then you go the lunar cycle, those who stay with the biblical time alignment and dealing with the moon, we see that God has been showing us what we've been preached for so long, that time is running out, man. It is really going. It's not waiting. And we're trying to catch up, and what time we have, try to get a little sleep in there, get something done before you know the hours are gone. Time is not playing, and we are looking at it in so many dimensions, and right now we are moving in the kairos. We are following the Spirit of God kairically, in the kairos. We are following God, and you're looking at the chronos. You're looking at when you see all of those the rim of eternity, looking at an eternal being moving, and we are falling with our spirit, which is eternal, falling his spirit in the kairos, but in our time frame, the chronos in the arion. And so you're looking at minutes, let's say seconds, minutes, hours, maybe some days, weeks, and years, but we know we all set on a time frame, and we all have a number. Our days are numbered, and so we really got to get ourselves together and stay together if at all possible, because we see so much has proceeded, and boastfully being declared from the throne of iniquity, which Satan sits on, and this is how he establishes doctrine and his lies, and one of his weapons is lies, and it's just another way to describe a type of the abounding of iniquity. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit today, and we may not be able to finish it today, praise God, but I'm telling you, oh boy, you're looking at the undoing of creation. I've been teaching this for the past few Saturdays over in Scottsdale, Tennessee, a little Saturday brunch they've been doing, and talking about the people thinking that we're still in birth pains. Well, no, we are not in birth pains. We are now in manifestations. We are whatever people has believed and received, believed and received and conceived, whatever seed. whoever they was intimate with or whoever they've been spending the most time with, now you see manifestation of what's really been growing and developing in them, whether bitterness, envy, strife, fightings, wars, craftiness, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, where he says some have the hidden things of dishonesty working in them. It's manifestation time. And I like that with the sister saying by this manifestation time. This is the birthing. This is the birthing. This is the coming forth, the bringing forth, of the springing forth of what has been forming inside us. Whether it's a new spirit or you still got that old bad spirit that you had in the world, always fussing and fault finding, and don't know nothing about mending anything, just a fault finder, a gossiper, a liar, carrying a talebearer, praise God, guilty of all charges. And these are some of the things God hates for us to be. He said, talk about the things that was an abomination. He said, six things God hates, and yet seven is an abomination. Praise God. And so we're in a day of so many types of judgments. Ooh, so many types and shadows of things that's past, now coming, that's in the chronos, that's in our time frame. Now we are looking at everything that fell on the past generations and now on the very last generation. And that's why it's so important that we get a right spirit. Because you will not understand nothing I'm saying, and all you would do is sit back and complain or find fault and say, oh, this don't mean this and that don't mean that. If you're not on the hundredfold level to this point, and it takes going through knowledge ranks on a knowledgeable level, to understand where I'm coming from. And that's what Paul said in 15, down to 15, say, well, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Some people are not of full age. They still in the baby stages. Some are in the novice stages. Some are waterhead babies, knowledge puffed up, but really don't understand nothing. They're teaching it and they're saying it, but they're more like waterhead babies. Knowledge, you're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge or to know what this mean and that mean. And God want us to know these things. It's given to us to know all that that's given to us that pertain to the kingdom. It's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And right now we are face to face, and we're looking at which to some iniquity is yet a mystery, but to those who are studious and have really take time to study the word line upon line and precept upon precept, hill little and bear little, and they've looked globally at it, at examples, past examples, the good, the bad, and the ugly of iniquity, we see that it is abounding again, iniquity, and this is the space and time for it, because we sit right now under the time frame or the numerology of where these manifestations and these voices and sounds and teachings appear to be strong, are being illuminated and being more received than truth. And people have moved to a place where they are haters of God and they despise the truth. Their love is wax and cold toward one another, and pointing the fingers and all this stuff that's not necessary, and you're losing more than you're gaining. And believe it or not, but you're on the adversary, on the side of the adversary. And these are works of the flesh. It shows that the flesh still have more life in it than what your spirit has, because you're still in this fault finding and pointing finger stages, and still going on and pointing the weapon at your real adversary, the real person that you're fighting, spirit beings, which soon the veil will be removed, whether it's be covered in flesh or the foreskins of others that they are now are building bodies and creating bodies fused with other elements and to give them covering until the word falls in the correct time frame, that everything now be seen, everything that was behind the cloud and hiding in the trees, under the waters, all the cover going to be pulled off of everything, every living creature, every being, whether it's a beast or it's human or not. Everything soon will be seen. Angels will be seen as is flying across the sky, even some that's flying across the sky with gospel teaching. And then we could see that twofold as a literal spirit being that's dwelling on the upper spheres, or it could mean media. It could also be interpreted as media flying through the heavens, mean the satellite projections of voices going through satellite realms of the electronic devices that can carry the voice of humans and any other beast or creature globally, that all will hear them speaking globally at one time when they are just one being, but they have created devices where they can speak to worlds at one time, in one time frame. And so we just praise the Lord for all of you today, and we certainly give honor to Apostle Callender, his wife, and the ministry, and this great radio show, and we thank him for inviting us to come again to share with you the word of God. We honor him, honor Apostle Stewart, praise the Lord, and all that's listening, all of the pastors, all those who are seated on the fivefold ministry thrones. We thank God for you and my son, Minister Jones, and my daughter-in-law, Mary, amen, who's a great supporters of mine, and all that are listening everywhere. Whether you're known or unknown, you are precious to us, and we thank God for you having an ear today. You're taking time to stop to hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say unto us, to you all today at your various levels, amen. And so we thank the Lord for you today. And so we're just going to go right into the Word of God. We're going to be talking about greater deceptions is coming. And this is phase two or phase three of what we've taught in past broadcasts and dealing with the deception. The importance now that soon all things and all entities that speaking will be made visible to you. You can be in a room and you know you keep hearing voices. I've been seeing people on TV shows on anomalies and strange happenings, strange occurrences, haunted houses, poltergeist houses, entities that have been loosened, specific geographical locations, and nobody to move them or to bid them or to release them to move past where they were released, that door. And so a lot of properties, a lot of homes, where sealed dark crimes have been committed, they're there and they're just ringing and stuck in that one place. And so soon all of these things will be released soon. And so we're going to need the Spirit of God to know voices. You know, we so often, as some of the people of God, we think discerning of spirits are just for us, for you to be looking at me all the time and measuring me. And Paul even brought that out in to the Corinthian church on how he say there are times where you run into people or go even into certain ministry around certain groups, gatherings where all they do is measure themselves among themselves. And they are competitive among themselves and comparing and competing. Like when you're measuring, that means I got five gifts, you only got one. I walk in the fivefold anointing. And where the Bible said there was different administration, we never saw in the Word of God where it was given to one man over any organization. But Christ, the Lamb of God, the only one that I've seen scripturally that walking them all, Paul didn't even declare himself to have all five of them in them working in them. You know, you went from rank to rank, even though you've got those abilities and experienced certain things, but there's no way, and that's why we won't even be a complete body if it was all in one individual as a head. Praise God. Amen. But we have to, like never before, really get your senses right now, exercise, train, develop, study, pray, look in the corridors or in the dimension of eternity so you can get an advance a foresight on what's coming or what's about to be released. You'll have it before CNN or NBC or Fox News or your local news gets it or any other organization that declared to be in the media or what we call mediums or middle people that speaks for another side or for another side of organization. And so we know that deception is getting ready to increase like never before. I tell you, the world is at a level now. It's real bad already. Praise God. And people don't know the difference in good and evil. And that's why you see them calling good and evil, because of looking at the world and what they're saying. But we must, if it's ever been a time for us to sharpen and to work on that seventh, the number seventh gift of the Spirit is the discerning of the spirits, the discerning of the spirits. And why? And their authority, their horns, or we call them horns, or authorities, of them that seat in governmental realms or over kingdoms of men that influence kings and rulers, governors and organizations, whether religious or politically, or whether it's of the light or in darkness, we are going to need the presence of God. And so I want to read a few scriptures, and we're going to talk a little bit more, praise God, and then we're going to pray and turn it back over to the man of God. I want to look at this scripture for Matthew 24. And these are familiar passages of scripture which we have heard over and over through my 44 years of studying and sitting under tutors and teachers and sitting under great iron sharpeners and men and women of wisdom, prayer warriors, mothers in Zion, and just to have the fivefold ministry have passed through my life in individual people. The apostle, the apostolic, has passed through my life to help form and shape and develop me in many ways. And then there's the prophet or prophetess, and then the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. Some people are privy to have that, because without all of that, that whole hand, amen, the work won't be as effective. Your hand won't be strong. The work won't be strong without all of those five fingers. You know, there would be a disability if you lose a finger or don't have a finger or born without. Some people are born without fingers. Now we got a race of people, and I have pictures. I have went and had them printed up at the library where you got people that's being born with three fingers now. And their fingers are so long. I say, now, what in the world is that? What kind of creature is that? Did the angels do this, or is this this is some other species created, a merging of a DNA, of the mingling of the genomes? What kind of creature is it? In other words, born, and then you got a race of people in the midst of us that have been set in various locations there. The evil side of the government is preserving and keeping and studious of and careful. They're taking care of them. They're still being born of a lower stature. They used to be born as tall as giant, 12, 15 feet tall, according to Genesis 6. And then now we see that the fallen angels, the scientific side of those who work in the realm of powers and spiritual wickedness in the high places, have mastered somewhat the stature or the height development they are not being born as tall. They are not being born as tall. They get to a certain height, and then the organs fail. And we see that with a lot of your documentaries and your pictorial images, photos that's been taken around the world of the tallest men and women, and even the shortest and the smallest, down to little fairy sizes. We know that they are all types of creations. And now, when all these things have been concealed and hid for many years, now we are privy to see them because of the time frame that we set in, where God has commanded that every secret thing be made known. Let nothing be hid anymore. So much of what the government deemed as coded or classified is none of that anymore. All the secrets are out, as Vanessa Bell Armstrong saying, all the secrets is out and nothing is hid. Praise God. And so this is a time knowledge has increased. People are going into the knowing, but it seems that much of the world know and accept more than what the church. Now, it's the other time we lead people to salvation, but, you know, once you get into salvation, you got to grow them, take them a little bit further than that, move them from the 30-fold realm, from the elementary things, the foundation of principles and doctrine, as they learn really fast and develop real fast, that you can move them on to 60-fold, and you go and start teaching them instead of the basic principles of salvation, the do's and don'ts of sin, the origins of sin, and how to not sin, and what you do to keep your thoughts pure, keep your life pure, and the do's and don'ts, praise God. And then you're going on to knowing who you are. You're learning more about the human spirit, your true purpose, and why you are here, and why you had to take that passage of being born in sin and being shaped in iniquity, born in a world with twisted and distorted teaching, coming in a world blind, yet blind, came from God, but entered the mother womb into another level of blindness and seeredness in the mind. And then God provided us through the Lamb of God to awaken us, to awaken us to who we really are, our origins and his purpose and his plan that he had for us versus what Lucifer, the devil and his angels planned. And we know from God's side of creation, and then the angels, the fallen angels, trying to tell their side of the story in all the movies. They're still full of lies because, praise God, their weapons is lies. And this is where we are entering in the abounding of iniquity. So we're going to be talking about, this is my subject today, Apostle. The topic is the abounding of iniquity. Praise God. The abounding of iniquity. Last week we talked on some other things that will coincide today. But it's so important, praise God, that we are paying attention to all the images and imagery. Now, we are not to focus on it long, but in all your gettings, as you look and you see it and you know there is something not right with it, then scan it. Get a Kodak moment, a projection of it, and then you can pull it out and study it and break it and decipher it then. Praise God. But it is so much going up, so many erections, so many statues, so many buildings, so much technological things going up now. So many images, so many imitators, so many markers now that you got to know what you're looking at in order to know, should you take that direction or should you merge with it or cleave to it or what, you know. And even the disciples was concerned about it in St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. They was pointing out the literal temple that people go and fellowship and meet, and supposed to be in reference and honor to God. Jesus said unto them, when they were trying to show him, see, Lord, the temple, look at the church, beautiful edifice. Look at all the design of churches, beautiful churches and temples that are being built in honor of the Most High. But Jesus answered them in that second verse. He said, Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one stone upon another on this place, amen, and that shall not be thrown down away with fashionable temples. Ain't nothing wrong with having nice, beautiful edifices, churches and all, but the reason why Jesus came is not to put so much emphasis on the literal building, but on the lives of men. So you can see both in both realms of things, where the natural temples are being torn down as well as men's lives. And this is why we have to recapture and revise some things in ministry. And then it says in verse 3, he said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the place where they grew olive trees, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, Lord, tell us, when shall these things be? You say the temple going to come down, it's going to fall, and we know it did at his death, and when he left out of his body and went out into the prison, as the scriptures say, Jesus went down into the prison and preached to just men who were made perfect, the ones that died in faith, waiting and still believing that God was going to do as he told the many prophets past. Prophet Isaiah, prophet said that a child going to be given, a Savior going to be born, and you know how they call him the Prince of Peace, and da-da-da-da-da. He said that was coming, and so they died believing that. Dying in faith, dying in the Word of God is important. Believe in what you believe right now about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the purpose of it all. You got to die with that. Let that be the last thing on your mind at your last breath, not denouncing truth, not blaspheming, taking it back or calling it a lie, as such as move time people are moving in now, because we are moving in a day, glory to God, of reprobation. And we are moving into a day where the laws of blaspheming has been set. And we know Daniel prophesied in chapter 7 and verse 25 in the days that it's going to be given to the Antichrist spirit. And he was talking about even in his time, the same sons of Lucifer are the sons of perdition that have passed from generation to generation, the ones that Satan has chose to be the one world leader, which this is nothing new in our time. It was in time past. And you saw it because of Nebuchadnezzar's statue and all the others who were ruling, or the Pharaoh, the different types and shadows of Antichrist, men who stood against God, agreed with evil, and fought against God and his people from generation to generation. And so we see it continues. And so God said, if there ever more, even the more, even in this time, he told the disciples when they was asking him, Lord, and when these things should be, and what should be the sign of that coming, all the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 4 of Matthew 24, take heed. Now you got to pay attention. Be more ever cautious. Be more ever studious. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear, that no man deceive you. But if you don't have no word in you, and you're not one that have studied to show yourself approval and conceive the word of God, and if it's not hid in your word, your heart or your mind, deeply, what are you going to reach back, and how will you judge the matters or anything that you see in front of you or in plain sight if you have nothing on the level or superior to judge it by? Your word, the word of God in you, would be the measuring scale to what's visible, excuse me, in front of you. And Jesus said to them, he said, take heed. You got to be careful now, more now than ever. Even a family, friends, pay attention. Measure everything, every word. Praise God. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. And we're talking about that today. Praise God. Greater deception's coming. Glory to God. The abounding of iniquity is the title of this message, but the coming deceptions, what's present and what's coming. Oh, that soon the Antichrist spirit, the Lucifer's son, is going to call fire from heaven. We know they're going to do that through angelic technology. They don't have the ability to call no fire from heaven. They're going to use the things that you can't see as far out as the exosphere that's blending in with the stars and moon, and you think it's falling when it's something beaming of their spacecraft. So we'll shoot a little fire, and people say, oh, this must be a god, and he must be a god. He called fire to rain down, and all it was the technology, hovering craft that sent it down to make you think, to deepen the deception. Praise God. But he said that don't let nobody deceive you. The major deception is going to start in the human race, among the human race, is going to be styled as us. It's going to look at us. It's going to stand in the same stature, the same height, looking. It is perfecting imagery. And those that was disembodied, they're perfected masking costumes. Praise God. In order to gain your attention, or to mesmerize you, or to capture you by the looks. And this is why it's important that you not only judge things by outward appearance, but look a little deeper this day and time, because Jesus is warning us, no man. And why he put emphasis on no man, and not only men, are the masculine ones, but women as well. We know deception works both ways. And Jesus said he made us one, the woman come out of a man. And so Satan's greatest temptation is to deceive us, to overthrow us, to dethrone us, and cause you to give what was given to you into his hands, just like he did Adam and Eve. And then he tried to give it to Jesus. He said, all this I do, it was given to me, I'm going to give it to you, what was given to me. Praise God. Jesus said, it's important that you don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody fool you. We're in a day of competing, competition, mimicking, copying, duplication, cloning, transforming. That which was of God has been twisted and distorted, altered. And you got to live this life in a way of deep and great watchfulness, because all of the incantations and the spells and the sounds that's altering brain waves and thought patterns and causing blurredness in visions, or darkening the vision, or even trying to steal your visions of the night and what God gave. Get your attention on or convey to you by day, because you're too busy and got too many other elements and other things going on in the day. So when you quiet down at night, then he can kind of shoot that thing in to you in the dream realm, open up the pineal gland and sow instruction, or give you a little deja vu, or plant something that you'll later say, oh, deja vu, I remember this, I dreamed this. And I got to get back to my son, because you say you had a glorious dream too. I'm going to get back with your son on that. Praise God. Before we talked earlier, praise God. Jesus said, you better take heed that no man deceive you. Deception is coming through mankind. And Lucifer's connection to the deception, he know that if he come in his truest form right now, and I'm sure that they would, he was the most beautiful things and wore stones at one time, and the fall bring altering of your looks. Even if I backslid today, and right now I have a glory upon my countenance, I don't look like what I've been through, and I don't smell like cigarettes. I used to smoke all the cigarettes and smoke blunts and take all kind of pills, snort cocaine, snort heroin. Praise God, and thank God I've been free 44 years, going on 44, 45 in January, if I don't go to sleep, or if the Lord don't come before that time. I don't look like what I've been through, but your countenance is darker. But when light come in, there's a glory up on you. And even in the eyes, the appearance of the eyes, the gate, the housing, you can see when you're looking at a person's eyes, you can see that they are full of light. Light is in the house. The eyes are single. There's nothing lustful there. A vainglory, a lascivious there in the eye gates, you're not trying to cast a spell or draw one's attention to your eyes longer than need be. And that's why Solomon even warned men that have wives and men that's waiting on wives as well, that you don't stare in a woman's eyes too long. Now, I know it's business like to look when you're doing business transactions. You look at the person you're doing business with, because you're looking for the eyes language or body language to tell whether the truth is working at the time of word sharing, a promise of sharing, or coveting. You're making a covenant with this individual, business or or whoever it is that you're merging with, you got to be studious of the eye gates. But Jesus said, don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody deceive you. Amen. Because we're in the final rising of the Antichrist spirit like never before. The rising of beasts is all in the titles of movie, the rising of this new Transformer movie, the rising of the beast. And all the word beast is highlighted in lights. Praise God. And the word finale, end, you see in 666 more, when the saints are still sleeping or on snooze, saying, no, it ain't no 666. We're a long way from that. Okay. Okay, you keep believing that. We are at the door as close as your hand now, because now all of your financial systems and your bankings are shifting to the number of his name. We in phase three of the one step away from the final implementation of the mark of the beast. We passed through the beast. We got that system made of AI, the mind of AI, and we're ready at AI, like Joshua and them had to pass through there before they got to the promised land, face-to-face confrontation. We see all the biblical scenarios in old school, the school masters of prophetic things that was passed, now here with us again, history repeating it. And so we see of this alignment of prophetic things, and God told you that. See, you gotta pay attention. You can't be watching TV all the time or on the phone talking all the time or just going. You gotta spend time with God so you could be looking at things before it happens, see it before it happens. And if God sling a number or toss a number on your pillow to hit your head, and you wake up at that number, if it's just four, then if just four, study the number four. I look at the day of creation on the four, and whatever happened on creation the fourth day, then you know something is happening in that realm. Something has shifted in that realm. If you have twos or day two, what happened in day two? What happened if you see something six, you keep seeing, you know, something has shifted in man. Something has shifted in that realm. And whatever shift that happened gets for the worse. Now, when you start seeing those seven, then you know something is shifting in the kingdom of God, among the people of God. Praise God, in the church arena. Glory to God. And we just went to another level. I don't care how raggedy the other folks are looking up. And a lot of times we judge the church of Satan, the whore riding with the scarlet clothes riding on the beast. We judging the beast church up against the church, because God's church is still moving, still holy. It's people that still crying and sighing at the abomination of desolation. And we see that there's still a steadfast people that's holding on to the first glory, yet wait on the second glory. And then when God send those angels through Ezekiel's time of chapter 8 and 9, and he send them through to punish everybody in the house of God who was lukewarm, who was in and out, who was using his name and blaspheming and living in filthiness. He told me, kill everything that's not like me. Let everything die not like me. Everything that's using my name, oh, I want you to remove it. Don't spare nothing unless, he said, don't touch them that cry and sigh at the abomination. They grieved over the overspreading of homosexuality and lesbianism. They grieved over same-sex marriages. Now the pedophiles have the United States of America in court because they want laws approval of them having children at an earlier age and can marry children. And it will get there. It's going to go there. It will, because when these angels, according to Revelation 13, finally move into rule, man has lost. He's come to the end of his rule, and now we are going into 660. That lets you know, if we don't hurry and get some real prayer going, that we're going to lose dominion. And what God is going to do is silence the one that are keeping their bodies in sanctification and honor. He's going to tell them, don't y'all pray no more. I'm going to release evil. I'm getting ready to release as a type to move and say the kraken of that's from underneath the waters out of the earth. and those that still remain in the heights of the clouds and the highest of the mountains, or that have lived in the base of the mountains, I'm going to release them upon all those who have taken the mark of the beast. But by the time he released this, you'll see God seal his servants before that. But we are still here, but with a seal. We have been marked as untouchable. Don't touch the oil and the wine and those that I have sealed. We are yet here at the opening of the bottomless pit, and it has already begun. The angel with the key to the bottomless pit is already, the key is already in earth, already drilling. CERN machine is a key. CERN Italy, that is a key to the bottomless pit. And you have other keys and operators, all other technology, putting up stuff. And now they're talking about the spacecraft hovering over the Washington, D.C., the old Washington, D.C. Now, we know the new one is on the Denver, Colorado airport, and the old one is just there in Washington, between here and up north. Praise God. But he said, don't let nobody fool you. Let no man deceive you, because here is now, we're in the final rise of the Antichrist and the beast spirit. Men are becoming beasts. They have mingled themselves with every other beast and creature. They worship creatures more than the Creator now. Amen. And that's why Paul warned us that you got to be careful now, because we're at the end and they know their time is rising, and we'll find ourselves in the same type of scenario as Elijah at Mount Carmel, face to face with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, with total out to 850 prophets. He warned us through Apostle Paul at 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verses 13 and 14, that there were transformers in the making. There were, as we were developing, as we passed through the church and passed through the ranks of God from the 30-fold to the 60-fold, now we who stayed with the kingdom, standing with God, are moving to a 100-fold rank. Praise God. He said the transformer is coming. Praise God. He said that the false apostles are going to arise. False apostles. Apostles. Oh, they have the titles, but not the works. They have the titles, but no church. Praise God. They have the titles. They operating as spiritual trespassers, but have not been triple sealed by God, have not been appointed, anointed, or approved, but self-approved. And most are in it because they are competing. Oh, praise God. Amen. And Paul said, I warn you who stand in this last hour, in this last days. But war is coming, and you're about to enter the last battle, the face-to-face battle. If you can't conquer what's going on from the pulpit to the door, what you think you're going to do about the angels when they surface, the grandchildren of the giants that's coming out of the mountains and the catacombs of the earth, the Indians trying to chant and hopes to hold it back, because the church has become prayerless and not binding entities, doing the things that you're supposed to work with the virtue of prayer. You are not restraining evil, but we're giving place to it. Amen. And you may not say, well, I approve of this message or approve of this lifestyle, but your prayerlessness says, let it do its thing. Let it run its course. Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus said that the Antichrist, and there are many of them, praise God, that are rising, even the workers of iniquity that you see from movie to movie, from sitcom to sitcom, from record to record, all the music, they're laying the red carpet, calling the beast's name. And it's been commanded that our gospel singers and R&B singles are those who would say, Jesus, this has been an order. The law has been passed, as the word say would come today, that in Daniel 7:25 is going to be given to him to make war with the saints, to wear them out, and he's going to be given a period of time, a handle on time and seasons. And that's why Paul told us, saying of the day and the times, seasons, you don't need no man to teach you. You ought to see with your own natural common sense that something is wrong with the mind of the people. Something is wrong. Something very dark is going on here. Why is darkness coming? Because we have suppressed the light. And one of the sins of the fathers and of the church leaders and those who call themselves of the apostolic and of the prophetic and the pastoria have put out the lamps in the church. You don't open the church like you used to. And I can't begin to reiterate that as much as I need to. But you better turn those lamps back on in the church. You better open the church and begin to open it now while you have time, because after a while, you will not be able to sit in these temples. Amen. Because Jesus said at the beginning of this message that the natural temples of men, these things that you call yourself, you have built your designer churches to house the people, will soon come down, because the earth is already angry and upset and afraid of us, and she's shaking, she's rocking to and fro, and her bricks, the mortar is busting and falling apart. And so where will you gather? So while you have light, walk in the light, turn the lights on in the house, expose darkness, expose the devil and his angels, expose his ministers, and take down everyone that you put in office after your own heart. That Ezekiel 44 say God was offended with leaders because they put people in office after their own heart, because that's my family. I know my family got my back. I know my family going to do this and I do that. But God said holy offices was belong to holy people, of them who have kept their bodies in sanctification and honor. Them the ones who should hold the positions of the house of God. God said that we need to set everything and put it back like it's supposed to be. Put it back like it was when you lifted up a standard against evil. You wouldn't dare touch sin. But now he tell us in Matthew, Jesus even said in Matthew 12:12, that iniquity was going to abound. Iniquity. And you want to know what's got the world messed up? Iniquity. We didn't understand the mystery of iniquity because we, for years, we were asleep on the various meanings of various words, and we put all sins in the same category when they are not. They are different defenses. Now, God can forgive, but he say blaspheming not. Now the laws of blasphemy is in effect in this world, as world leaders and world rulers have given their kingdoms to the beast. Here come the laws and the rise of blasphemous laws, and now we see there's a strong delusion that's moving across the mind and the eyes of people who receive not the love of the truth. They make excuses and say, oh, that don't mean that, or she wrong, it ain't that, it ain't all of that, no, that, how you know? How you know if you operating in the third realm? You're still an elementary thing, and you can't break a scripture. And you read it, and you just say what you read, but couldn't even plow behind each letter verbatim or the jot or tittle and bring the revelation, or couldn't even stop at the comma, couldn't see that it was a threefold compact nugget in one verse of scripture, and you explain it as one saying when it was three golden nuggets in one verse of scripture, because there was a jot and a tittle or a comma right there, or exclamation point to let you know, hey, this is most powerful right here. Come on, somebody. Amen. And God said that you better beware, praise God, because we are in the day of the abounding of iniquity, twisted lies, even though the truth is marked. He say abounding of iniquity, and you know what iniquity means? Twisted and distorted teaching, the mutilation of God's word, broken truth. your doctrine, your apostolic creed, your church creed that works against God and say, well, God, we're not going to teach it this way because we won't fill the house. We won't get no church. The people won't give their tithe. They won't give their offering. They won't believe in me. Praise God. If I do it this way, that's a little bit too hard. Let's, God, let's do a new thing. We're going to show you this is a better way, God. You're going to tell God how to do it, how to put on and take stuff off of people. And you got to, when you want it off, praise God. And he said, but the iniquity shall abound means twisted and a distorting and adding away. You see it from pulpit to pulpit. You see. But he said in Psalms 94 and verse 20 and 22, it says, shall the throne, he asks it a question because you're dealing with Lucifer today, bringing all this deception. His purpose is to target your mind, to bring confusion, to keep you stuck, unsound, unsure, confused, unstable, double-minded, lukewarm, making excuses for the flesh. He says, shall the throne of iniquity, who sits on the throne of iniquity, who sits on the throne of lies, that's how Satan rules. Oh, his seat is called the throne of iniquity. He said, ask a question. David says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? Which frameth mischief by law? Oh, now you don't fellowship with the devil. You say you hate the devil and sin, but oh, now you know a person's life is raggedy as a mango seed, and their life don't mount to a hill of bean, and you know that person slip and slide, peeping and hiding, telling lies, and the tail burial and abomination separate chief friends, and you still run with them. You know they don't qualify to be called an apostle. You know they don't qualify as an evangelist. Don't even have a bird of a soul. Don't never go out wearing titles. They don't never work. And you know they're sinning in an adultery relationship. You know they're in homosexuality. You still going to give them the accolade of a golden title of the fivefold ministry? He say, what fellowship has the throne of iniquity with you? If you are set upon the throne of truth, eternal truth, infallible truth, why are you fellowshipping with these false folk? Why are you fellowshipping with folks in and out, up and down? Why? We don't have time for that. And that's what David was asking. He said, shall the throne of iniquity, the one who devised and created lies and schemes, what fellowship are you? You tell the truth, and then you fellowship with an apostle that tell lies, that prophet lies. Know the people's life ain't ragged, and you prophesy on top of all that raggedness. You won't tell the people you got to get it right, get saved, get purged, get your deliverance. No, you're going to say, you're going to be all right. It's going to be something just going right tonight. You got to get it right, and you're going to be very powerful, or you're going to be blessed, or da 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 da. But he say, what fellowship has the throne of iniquity with you and I? How can two walk together except they be agreed? What's the attraction? He say, which frame you framing? You framing mischief. They got something they under brewing. They trying to work it to get back to you or to get back with it or left and destroy it and come back and repent. And you know their spirit ain't changed. He said, you framing mischief by law. See, Satan now, through the legislators, the senators, and all those who's supposed to be law abiding. See, you know how a lot of people, you see, they make laws. They don't keep themselves. The police tell you don't speed. You can't go 90 miles an hour in 50, but they go 90 miles an hour. How you make a law you don't keep yourself? You're a castaway. Somebody need to give you a ticket. We make laws. We don't keep ourselves. Thou shalt not kill. You kill for any unlawful reason, just for the color of the skin, or just because the person poor, they need to be out their misery. Just kill them. You know, and you make laws that you don't keep yourself. What fellowship has a church that stand for truth, that run unless you get them saved and get that whole church on the altar. The pastor is crooked all the way down because what's on them spread down to the body and overspread. And he say, what fellowship have you with old raggedy preacher? You living right and you running with somebody raggedy, bringing a reproach, bringing embarrassment, molesting boys, molesting girls. Okay, got 12 wives, 7 wives, 5 husbands. What's the equalness here? Because they say, oh boy, he bring a crowd, he bring money. Let's gotta deal with them. Let's just hang with them. No, not so. Paul say, withdraw yourself. That's what he told the Corinthian church, from every brother and every sister that walketh this. That's what he said. You get away from them that walk disorderly. And he said, not after the doctrine or the traditions that you have been taught. He said, he frameth mystery by law. They created their apostles' creed and their church doctrine by mischief. Well, we got to put it like this here because we can get the money. We're going to get a lot of tithes if we do it this way. We'll get a lot of offerings if we do it like, well, a lot of people, a person can be slow on the short bus, and you'll get them the title of an apostle or a bishop, and no, they can't even explain John 3:15, even part one of that verse. But they've got what, these apostolic titles. They got these evangelistic titles, don't care nothing about no soul. They always sitting in the seat of the scoffer criticizing, don't know nothing about reaching the lost. They don't have no experience on what they have gone through. But we set these titles because we be desperate to fill offices. And sometime if you just wait, God will give me what you need. You say they frame mischief by the law. Praise God. And then we look in the Word of God, we'll see what the Word of God says in Job. Job told us that now the devil is loose because he know his time is running out, him and his angels and all who are workers of iniquity. You got churches that are workers of iniquity. Amen. They preach half the truth. They preach distorted things. They preach twisted things. They won't give you the whole counsel of God. You sick, they won't preach from health laws. They just let you go on and be sick, go on to the doctor, go on and get halt and maimed, dismembered. Praise God. And if you want to lose weight, they go to the dietary laws, what to eat and what not to eat, because we going on, we can pray over everything. God ain't never changed his mind about no pig. He never changed his mind about a hog. He never changed his mind about a scavenger. It's Satan in Daniel 7:25 that distorted the twisting. Everything God said thou should not eat is what they're pushing in our communities. And they get the top of the line stuff. Everything God said don't do, don't touch, that's unclean. That's what they're pushing. Everything that God said don't set before your eyes, that's what's in your television program. And he told them in Isaiah, he said, put away the abominations before your eyes, those things that twist and distort your judgment, bring you back into uncleanness, bring you back into fellowship with devils. He said, put away. Because Job even told us in chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 2, and verse 2, he said, the devil is walking to and fro, up and down in the earth. Now he's watching through technology, spying out your liberty, your mindset, see where you at spiritually, if you're sound or you're still unstable. He's seeking whom he can devour. He got to get you. He desire to have you and to sift you as wheat. He want to bring you down from your throne, bring you down from your watch. That's what he's doing, and he's going for. Praise God, as Revelation 12:9 said, he gone forth to deceive the whole world. He is moving globally to deceive. He deceived the whole world. That was all of us. Until God let us pass through ministry who was really awake. Ministry that really walked with God and had a lot of real prayer going. To start via I-7 morning, for us to see things as they really are. And when you wake up and say, God, me, I didn't see that like that before. Oh, that's true. I was with that person. I didn't know they looked like that until light filled you. And you see what things really are. But the devil has deceived. The whole world is under deception. And it's sad to see some of our religious organizations are also under deception. And then Isaiah 14 and 12 say the devil weakened the nation. He weakened the nation. Know how you do that? Oh, we got to get the word out of them cities. I want y'all to start with biblical translations. I want you to get in the archives of knowledge. I want you to get into history, twist, distort, relocate, rename regions, kingdoms, lands, waters, change everything. That way, no way that he want possible for anyone to return to their origins or go back to their beginnings or to inherit their inheritance. He weakened the nations by giving them flesh, what they want to do, approving what God disapproved. Amen. He weakened them by bringing people to prayerlessness, because without prayer, there would be no power. You can't stand without prayer. You won't last if you fast. The appetites of the flesh, your sensual nature would be overwhelming. We will all go back to freakazoids. We will all go back to nicotine. We would all go back to cocaine. We would all go back to the dark side of nature. And Matthew 4 and 9 saying, Satan even told Jesus, he was trying to weaken Jesus at the mount. You know, when Jesus was on his 40 days of fasting and praying, so it shows you that he can come before fasting and come at the time of fasting, if God permitted to be so. And he was trying to bribe. He come to bribe, just like right now. And I said some of this in our last telecast on how the devil, he cometh. He came to Jesus personally when he was fasting and trying to get him to bow and to break his fast and to get him from praying by offering him all the kingdoms of the world. He told Jesus, he said, now all this I will give thee, which was given to me. Adam and Eve gave it to me. He said, I'm going to give you this, because he saw that this man was mighty, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. This man had something that he was not like regular men, like mere men. He said, I'll give you this if you just exchange it. See, he won't give Jesus the kingdoms of the world, but he wanted that power that was up on Christ. He could recognize that anointing. That was something from which he fell from. He was bribery, and God warned Moses in his day, Moses, you beware of the bribery of people. They give you all kind of accolades, apostle this, and all the apostles, all the great this, and all this. And I bought you a suit, apostle. I bought you some shoes, apostle. I got you some. I got you a dinner to the steakhouse, and I got this here, and bribery, and so that you can position them sometimes in places they don't even qualify for. Put titles on them they don't even qualify for, in rank for, and we scared to take it back. Some preachers, they're scared to take it back. A prophet will come and say, you know, you're out of your calling. God has called you to do this. And yet, now, don't get me wrong. Now, you can grow and develop to that rank. But right now, you are not there to fit in there right now. Let's work here and make your way to that rank. And we'll put it on them too soon. And they end up with shipwreck. And then you end up having a defeated ministry, and you wonder why we lose battles, because we got the wrong people in position, especially one of the greatest and the highest place would be in your church. It's not your pulpit. The highest place would be that altar, and that's where your power is, and that's where your hedge is erected, and praise God. But he said, told him, Jesus, that I'll give you all of this if you just bow down and worship me. And right now, we see Lucifer here, Satan, coming of the devil, as they call him, titled him in this particular verse of Matthew 4 and 9, he said, I'll give you all this, and now we have the unholy trinity that has been established, because Satan has a fivefold ministry. He has his church, as we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Satan has the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet operating in the religious arena, and now their mouths are open. According to Revelation 16:13, say the mouth of the beast, the mouth of the false prophet, the mouth of the dragon is open, and they're sending out unclean spirits like frogs to the kings of the earth and to all the inhabitants of the earth. There's a spirit coming for you. There's a spirit coming after you to overthrow you. It wants you. It desires you. It's got to find a way for re-entry of the entity that had you before, that's been sitting groaning and moaning to get his house back. They got to find a way to make you fall, find a way to get you back in the little slightest of air. Praise God, so that the devil would have place again. And so there's bribery going on. You wonder why leaders are where they are globally? Because they have that scripture again. And we bought this last time we was on here in that second chapter of Song, the second division of Songs, I would say. The world leaders, your rulers and your kings have taken counsel together against the Lord. And we see a move against the Kairos. They're not going in the direction the Most High said go. That's for our best interest and for the best better of this nation, or the better of where you're at in your regions. You'll find those who are coming into alignment in these final elections, the final phase and the last phase before the introduction of Lucifer's son, his son coming forth, because he's going to mimic and duplicate what Christ did and show himself to be a son, but a son of darkness, and Jesus was the son of light. And he's coming. He said that these spirits are coming. They're sending out spirit bribery. And right now, a lot of bribery and distraction going on. Oh, they're giving away so much money and all these cards. And, oh, if you ain't gotten this Medicaid now, you could get this card and get $1,400 a month, $700 a month. All this distraction in the numbers. And they'll tell me we are not operating in the number of his name, because the financial system is getting ready to crush. And people say we wouldn't be at this time for the mark of the beast. And listen. We are here to the last trumpet. Now, you need to read your Bible again. Read it again, and we don't leave out to the last trump. And in between now and then, he is introduced as the world leader while we're here. Then he goes after the bride. He's going after the remnant. The dragon has already begun moving toward the remnant, the original remnant, the remnant, the original seed. And this was what else he's done, and I'm going to end with this. This bribery comes to world leaders to have greater power, to have a lot of money, whether you're a religious leader or political leader, the opportunity to have the biggest house, the finest car, to have servants made, somebody to comb your hair, to bathe you, to feed you if you wanted to, wash your clothes, iron your clothes, to cook every meal, all just for you. Praise God, you can wear diamonds and pearls, and oh, they just lay everything at your feet for an exchange for your soul, so you can bow and serve the fallen ones. And so all this bribery, now you do what I said. The rappers, the old rappers, a lot of them died after they exposed they had a demonic visitation in the form of a human. And say, hey, we want you to sign this contract, but you don't sign it with a pen. They say you have to nick your finger or cut it and sign with your blood on that contract. And it holds for some reason. And why, when you're dealing with the wiles of the devil and those level of schemes and plot and God alike, they denounce God and God hold them and let that contract stand. And some have went down to hell come up to meet them. The only, and those contracts, you only live but so long, just like our days are numbered. And we have to do all that God has purposed and ordained for us to do. You got to want to do the will of God instead of living the rest of your days to the lust of the flesh and to the will of men, the will of governments, the will of organizations. But you have to will yourself to do the will of God. Praise God. And look what it says here in our ending. And I bring this up often, and I can't begin to say anything else to you. I hope you're receiving what I'm saying, because I'm trying to enlighten you on what's happening, the undoing of creation. And in compact with all of this, we are not only preparing to fight spirit with spirit, but we have a spirit in us that will show us what's coming and give us the ability as the children of Issachar to understand, to discern the signs of time, to discern spirits, to discern the face of the sky, to discern the Lord's body, praise God, to discern humans from other entities and beast and creature, praise God, to discern the difference in a deep sleep, seared conscious, or when an individual is under strong delusion, to discern the difference in reprobation, or a person just insane, or whether there's a physical deficiency or a spiritual deficiency, whether it's a physical curse or it is a spiritual curse, whether they are received by God or rejected by God. Should I speak your word, or give a pearl or a piece of good bread to them, or should I stand and resist? Should I bless, try to bless what God has cursed? Praise God, or back up off of it. Praise God. You got to keep an eye on time, lest you fall up under one of these judgments, or fall and God and release evil spirits in the midst of us. You got to keep that word at your defense. Stay with the word as it is. Don't add and take away from it. Don't paticate it. Tell it like it is and get the people back to God. Get them cleaned up. But when they give in to those bribes, man, it's so many people coming out of the woodworks on TikTok, and on YouTube telling their personal face-to-face invitation, with the witch's invitation, or Satan's invitation. Come on over on my side. Come on and be with me. I'm really God. I got thrown out. We're just trying to get an army together because the fake one is coming soon. He's making y'all think that he's God, but he ain't. I'm the true one. I'm the one giving you pleasure. I'm the one doing this for you. You know, come on my side. Join the army that I'm getting together, and which is made up of humans and deformed people and clones and robot dogs and robot soldiers and giants, the Eljos, the grandchildren of the giants coming out of the Kandahar Mountains, the Mexico Mountains, and the Utah Mountains, and the Arizona Mountains, and Montana Mountains, praise God, coming up out of the earth, praise God, coming up. Glory to God, the ones that's disembodied in the wind, riding on the wind and hovering crafts. He says, Lucifer say, come on and join me. You ain't got to teach that hard. You ain't got to preach like that. You ain't got to tell the whole truth. That ain't got nothing to do with y'all. Yes, it do. Because Ephesians chapter 1 and 3 said that what was is now and what has been is coming. History repeats itself. And all he want to do is let you stay numb and dumb, asleep enough and on snooze enough so he can finish undoing creation. He said in Isaiah 28 and verse 18, we're in with this because it goes right into Israel, the Israelite, the people of God, going into covenant with death and agreement with hell. And the covenant with death, when you deal with that, is human sacrifice, the agreement of human sacrifice of live, dead offerings. God wants living sacrifices. He wants you to come to him while you are alive and still have good use of your body where he can use you and send you to do things. You can go in the name of the Lord. Versus Satan wants dead sacrifice. He wants everything destroyed and in ruins and dead. And so they build altars as the Mayans did and so many others did, altars that the Molech altars, all that was over Syria and now they have rebuilt it in various countries by taking some of the bricks of the stones and brought them into various countries and into covenants, rebuilding altars. And this is what the world leaders have done, mimic and copy what the fallen Israelites, the fallen people of God has did. And Isaiah said, and your covenant, God is saying, when your covenant with death shall be annulled. Now, God, the only one who have power to give life and to take it. But you agree with evil just to have your youth, or have good sex, or to have a lot to eat, diamond and pearls. You sacrifice the living and offer every year at a certain time, a moon alignment, a numeral alignment falling, that you have to sacrifice a virgin or a child or something with a specific mark on it, or a mole or beauty mark or a feast, just a different type of structure, a bloodline. They made a covenant with death, and you see it every year. They celebrate the death angel, especially during the time of Halloween, and all of your stores, they got this big old death angel with a reefer, the great grand reaper up there with his hook, and he embalms as a symbolic of the worship of death, the praise of death. And you know these fallen angels, they like that. Well, we coming up on October, man. They're going to be worshiping us, celebrating us, and they're going to throw a little candy in it and to grab the children into it, to get the children looking on us and embracing the symbols of us, the images of us. And so they've made a covenant with death. We're going to worship you. We're going to give it to you. I don't mind killing my mama or killing my son and my daughter for you as long as I can live my days, because they believe that they are the true gods. When they're a liar, their weapons are lies. The deception is the lie. God said, but that covenant is going to be annulled, and Jesus annulled it. He destroyed it where Satan could never offer, could come and just kill and do what he, because when he first came down, he came down seeking whom he can kill and destroy, whom he walking to and fro up in the earth, whom he could deceive or kill and destroy. He had that till Jesus died, and Jesus gave it to the church. And then he gave it to us to speak the word, the power in our mouth of life and death. And we end up turning around and reversing it again, repeating the same sins of the fathers. Don't speak life. We say one thing, but we go do another. We won't go to the way God say, go by the way of healing. We go by what the system says. And you can turn it around and reverse everything. Dark incantation or prophecy or spoken word of your life's limitation over your life. You can turn it around, gangrene in your leg, blackness in your leg, poor circulation, closed arteries can be unclogged if you go back to the word of God. Return to the word. Either you believe the word of God or the lie. You can't have them both. You can't preach them both. Jesus healed. His disciples went away healing. They didn't call the doctors. They went to the elders, those who were consecrated. If they're in the sick among you, let them call for the elders. And if there's been any sin, they'll be forgiven. Erased. You see, I'm going to break that covenant with death. You stop agreeing with death. I promise you, X amount of years, you're going to agree with dying before your time, and you're going to start announcing what they say. Man, they say, I got 6 months to live. Man, they say, I got about a year. And you ain't even made it to the promised number of 70-plus this generation. And my mama's there was 120, and now it's been cut, and now it's cut again. Now the lifespan is much more shorter. That's why David's dying. It shows you just how short a time it is. He said, and I'm going to annul that. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to give you power over it now. I'm going to give you just what to say. I'm going to tell you just what to do, what herb to take. how much prayer you need to do, how long you need to fast to break it up off of you. Now, it's up to you to do it. Or you can hold on to it and just go on to the grave early. Now, that don't mean you're going to be lost or you go to hell, but if you just died without faith in that area. You had faith in other things, but not in that area because you were too brainwashed there. Your faith was not strong there because you're putting potions in your body and it's creating more disease. You had one, now you got five. Cause of the spirit cookers, the potion. They just suppressing it, and then they got other little things in there to create something else. To have off-breathe, offspring, cause other things to spring up through your body. Okay, and he's saying, and I'm going to destroy your agreement with hell shall not stand. And that agreement I had with hell, I said, ooh, man, I'm going to stay out of here. I'm going to have all the things. I want. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm glad God broke the covenant, my agreement with hell. I thought I was going to party till I die. I'm going to shout and dance till I die. Oh, God, I thank God for power over all the power of the devil. He said your agreement with hell won't stand. If you want to be free from hell and what they have declared and what they have spoken, he said, I'll destroy that covenant. I'll burn up the contract. I don't care what you promised, what blood you put on the script. If you genuinely repent, if you have that godly sorrow, if you're truly sorrowful, that a work repentance, that it'll bring you to a real change. You ain't just saying it to get healed. Or you're just saying because you want to get your body recovered and you go back to doing it. You're coming out on the real deal. He said it ain't going to stand. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through ye, then ye shall be trodden down by it. If you don't receive it, you're going to be trodden down. You'll end up dying before your time. God said, you're 70 years, but I won't strive with man always. I'm not going to make you accept the truth. I'm not going to keep beating you over the head with it. It's right there. Anytime you need it or want to go to it, if it ain't too late, sometimes people say, man, it done gone too far. You could be at your last breath and you still believe what they said and you held on to dark elements and gave place to it instead of the word of God to fully recover from all levels of darkness throughout the body that's trying to devour your soul and your love and belief in the truth. Praise God. And the spirit. Hallelujah. It's God's will for us to be free indeed. Free indeed. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be depressed. Hallelujah. You can just give them that number back if they say, well, you got 1 week. I'm sorry, there's nothing with it. Well, Jesus paid it all. And it's to all him you owe. Jesus died to heal all your soul's diseases, whatever has you diseased and got you out of your head and out of your mind and got you that you think you're beyond recovery of a broken heart or a wounded spirit. God healed. Jesus paid it all. It is to all him we owe. And we know sin has left a crimson stain. It's so deep that you're going to need the power of God to be free from it. That's what Jesus died for, to free you and to break into the storm and to annul your covenant with death and that agreement you had with sin. Man, I'm going to party. I'm going out every night, every chance. Man, I'm going to party. I'm going to do it. And you got to realize there's consequences to all of that, those beliefs. And when you stick with that, you expect those things to happen to you. But it's God's will for us all to be free. And his hands is outstretched to you. Will you be free today from the burden of sin? Do you want your yoke to be easy and your burdens light? Do you really want peace of mind, or you just want to keep playing crazy and so you can keep getting a check for your mind? Some people just play crazy, and then they start getting all that mind-altering stuff in their body because they say, man, if I this way, I'm going to get a check. And then once that stuff get in your system, unless somebody you walking with or in a church that's walking in the power of God and have the ability to call a spirit out, make you cough it up and get him out of you and get you filled with the Holy Ghost, so there will be no place for reentry, you'll find yourself going to the next level of insanity. And I call it, you'll be in the land of Nod, a place where don't look like you're going to get back to your right mind. And it's going to take us returning to the power of God. But you must beware of iniquity. The last minute of passing of sermons and all these other translations that are arising that cause an iniquity abound. This is the mystery of iniquity. This is how iniquity abounds. Iniquity is the distortion, the twisting, the adding and take away of the truth, mutilated it, not preaching it in its full capacity, not preaching it in its wholeness. And then you got the books. The target is the religious industry to get that still God consciousness, take God out the Bible and all these translations. And then China just put a message in the housetop, in the media, and in the newspaper that we are rewriting the Bible, the dragon country. They are called the dragon. We are rewriting the Bible. Why? Why this last minute? Because, you know, there's still some people are confused because they won't read. They go on. Well, they just go to church for that sermon and 1 hour preaching and they go living off of that. But you better, man, you better search them scriptures. Search them scriptures where you think you have eternal life. Do you really have it? Search them. Read for yourself. Word verbatim. Look at it. Behold. Look into the realm of eternity. Look in the great mirror, and you will see yourself as is. Whether you've gotten better or you're worse or you're at a standstill. Whether you're getting clean or you're still altogether filthy. Look in the mirror. Like Michael Jackson said, I'm going to look at the man in the mirror. And I'm asking him, when he changes ways, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. And then all the old fairy tales, we want the illusion. We say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most beautiful of them all? And then you got this entity that work in that realm. They work in that frame. We was dealing with reframing. Shift, they mischief, they framing, they can work with frame, anything that will hold your attention there. They can bring a delusion. They'll make my son and them in the streets, and they say the ugliest person believe that they're beautiful. The most beautiful person look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm so ugly, what's wrong with me, look at me. The delusions, the voices that come with mirrors, just like the word has voices in it. It has a revelation there. You will see yourself as is if you just get in that word. Oh, my God. I'm looking at myself every day, both on both dimensions of mirrors. Making sure my face clean, my eye clean, and my hair is just right, and then you find yourself going back and you say, ooh, when is it still in place? You keep going back trying to, why don't we do look in the word like we go to the mirror as much as we go look in the mirror at ourselves? Why we can't keep opening up the Bible the same way, which is a great mirror? You will see all dimensions of time, the chronos, the kairos, and you'll see the eon. You will see that. You will see it in the seconds and minutes and the hours of it, and you will see your past, present, and future right there in that word. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise for the word of God. Lord, we bless you for preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We thank you that every imagination has been cast down. All the high things have been brought down. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for setting our minds and our affection on things up above and not on this earth. We pray that you, by your power and by this word, will continue to sanctify our thoughts, our passions, our longings, our desires, our cravings, the wantonness that comes, even the worst of the wantonness of vain glory. We thank you for setting things in order as they are. Forgive us of any sin that we might have committed in your sight, from our early rising this morning up until this very hour right now in our thought, word, or deed. God, we pray that you would forgive us of trespasses if we've trespassed against any, if been a discourage anyone. God, we pray that you forgive us of debts, unpaid vows, if we've coveted anything of our neighbor's house, any form of idolatry. Forgive us for idleness, sometimes of pushing our gifts under a bushel. Forgive us, Lord, if we've robbed you of anything, if we've grieved your spirit or quenched your spirit, forgive us. Have mercy upon us according to thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies. We pray that you will blot out our transgressions and let the word purge us thoroughly from all iniquity, everything that's twisted, that distorted, and everything that's not of you. We pray to be cleansed from every spot, wrinkle, blemish, and any such thing that will offend. We pray to be cleansed from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. We pray that everything that concerns us will be perfected by the Holy Ghost. Be glorified in our body and our spirit. Cause us to be ushered to that place where the wicked one touches us not, that we'll forever stand as mighty men and women of valor in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you as our prayer into the hands of Apostle Callan.
Thank you so much, our prophetess. First, we thank God for you. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for the word that you have allowed your servant to release into the atmosphere, into our hearts, into our minds, into our soul. We ask, O God, that you would open the window of heaven, the door, and the gates of heaven, O God, and that you would pour out the oil from the throne room, and that you would anoint her afresh, O God. Lord, pour into her virtual being, O God, that, O God, her natural being, O God, would be elevated to a realm, O God, that brings glory and glory to you only. Oh, Father God, that would edify your body and that would terrify the enemy. Father, we thank you, oh God, for the information that you have allowed us to receive, that enlighten our spirit man to walk closer to you, Lord God, to submit and commit to you only, oh God. Oh God, that we walk and live with a heart of repentance, oh God. Oh, God, with a heart of love and compassion for our fellow man. Oh, Father God, that we seek you only for wisdom and understanding. And, oh, God, we just thank you, oh, God, for having mercy upon us, for reaching out from your throne in glory and touching us in time, oh, God, that we might get closer, that we might have a thirst and a hunger, oh, God, for righteousness, oh, God. Oh, Father, we just bless your holy name. We praise you, oh, God. God, we know that there's much going on in the earth, all the nations and continents. are facing serious dilemmas. But God, we recognize that you are still in charge, that you still reign, that you are still sovereign, that you are still mighty, that no one compares to you, O God, that you are truly the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the beginning and the end, that you are the first and the last, that you are the land of the tribe of Judah, that you are, yes, Lord God, you are Elohim, Elyon, O God, that you are Jehovah Shabor, Jehovah Tiskanu, O God, Jehovah Jireh, Emmanuel, O God, we thank you, Father God. So many names you have, O God, but we can't call all, because even if we call all the names, God, we will not compare for who you really are. You are bigger than your name, O God. Father, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you right now. Thank you for Minister Jones. He's out there working. And Lord, we ask that you continue to cover and protect him as he's on the highways. Oh, God, we ask, Lord God, that he pay attention, oh, God, that he be not be distracted by the cell phone or even studying the word or listening to the word. Pay attention, oh, God, that he would allow you to, oh, God, order his steps in your word, oh, God. Oh, Father, that he would allow you to protect him, to shield him and defend him, fight his battles, oh, God. Yes, Father God, that he would not allow the enemy to infiltrate his spirit man and pull him off guard. Lord, we ask you, O God, to protect his wife as she is seeking to be closer to you, Lord God. She wants to draw closer that you can breathe righteousness upon her, breathe holiness upon her, O God. Let the oil saturate her mind, body, and soul, O God. We ask, O God, that you, O God, meet her at a point of need, O God. Lord, you know all our needs. Even before we open our mouths, O God, you know what we need. We ask you this day, O God, to God, continue to usher us in into your presence, Lord. Draw us in, O God. We want more. We are hungry. We are thirsty, O God. O God, we are thirsty, O God, like a deer panted for the waters, O God. We are panting for you, Lord. Lord God, we ask today that you touch Brother Deacon Fraser. Lord, he's being distracted by the crew. But Lord, we ask, O God, that you touch him, O God, and that you draw him close to you. Let him know he don't have to seek no man or no woman, but he needs to seek you, Lord God, that he needs to go after you, O God, run after you like the deer run after the water over the brook stream. Lord, we pray this morning, God, that you, we chase after you, because you have what our soul needs. Father, we lift up Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. And God, we thank you for their ministry. We thank you for what you're doing in the ministry that you're adding to them. Oh, Father, we lift up Prophetess Tawana Anderson over in Louisiana and her family. We lift them up, oh God. We come against every attack of the enemy, every assignment of Satan, every assignment and agenda of the witches and warlocks that are coming against their family, that are coming against my family, oh God. Oh, God, all families, but Father, we recognize, oh, God, that we are covered on the, with the blood, that we are under the blood, and that no weapons formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that come against us in judgment, God, we condemn it right now, Lord. We recognize that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to do. This day, oh, God, we honor you, and we praise you, oh, God. Lord, we continue to magnify your name. You said if you be lifted up, and you were lifted up to the cross, but you said if you be lifted up from this earth, you will draw all men unto you. And Father, we thank you that you will lift up your son, Lord, to go to the cross. And now he's drawing men and women and boys and girls to you. Oh, Lord, we just bless your name. We praise you, oh, God. God, we come against the new virus that Bill Gates said that he is conjuring up to put into the earth rim because he wants to control the population. And Father, we ask, oh God, that you put a hedge around every believer and even the unbelievers that will come to be believers. Put a hedge around them, oh God, that the virus that has come, the new virus that the citizens is on the en route to the world, oh God, to the earth, that it will not destroy. Oh God, but we will be able to overcome. Even if it hit us, we will overcome, oh God. We thank you for the blood that's on the doorposts of our hearts right now. And God, we thank you, Lord God, because we recognize it, Lord. We know it in our hearts, oh God, that weapons are going to form, but they're not going to prosper, oh God. We know that viruses are going to come, but they're not going to prosper, Lord God. Lord, I went in places, you allow me to go in places to minister the word, to share the word, and even to work and share the word. And people were there. Many people was in the places that I was working with. And I wasn't wearing any kind of masks, but Lord, you never allow me to get any virus. Oh, Father, we thank you right now. We honor it. We thank you and praise you for your protection. We thank you for your shield and your buckler, for your strong tower, Lord, because we can come in and find safety. Oh, God, find safety. Oh, God, we just thank you right now. We bless your holy name. We honor you, Jesus. God, cover the children. Cover our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We ask you to cover them, oh, God, with your blood. Cover them. Oh, God, allow them to know that don't be distracted. Don't let them be distracted, oh, God, by these pedophiles and these sex traffickers and these pedophiles and sex traffickers, oh God, that are coming to get the children and entice the children or the parents are too connected to their cell phone, too engulfed in their cell phone and their computers, that they are not paying attention to the children and the sex traffickers and human traffickers and the pedophiles are coming and getting them, taking them from the parks, oh God, with candy. Oh, God, taking them and leading them out the park with candy while the parents is paying attention to the phones. Oh, Father, we just thank you and honor you right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you, oh, Father. We thank you, Father, for bringing change. God, Isaiah said there's going to be a shifting. There's going to be an awakening. And, God, we know that the shifting is already taking place and the awakening is happening. Oh, God, people's eyes are opening. Their spiritual eyes are being opened right now, even right now as the word is going forth over this airways to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Thousands upon thousands will hear this word, and their eyes will be open, oh God, for uncommon word, filled with the word of God, oh God. We pray right now, filled with the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes of God upon the word, and the word is going to where it needs to go to, because God has dispatched his word this morning and every morning here on Blog Talk Radio. Father, we just thank you for meeting all our needs according to your riches and glory. Oh God, we thank you that we are not lacking anything, oh God, that you have provided all our needs. And Father, we thank you for that fellow, that father, that woman that's unsaved. We thank you, God, for reaching down and touching the spirit man even right now, that they receive Jesus even from hearing the word, that they have asked you to enter into their hearts this morning. And glory to God. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you. We honor you. Father, we honor you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to open the line. Anyone that wants to come and encourage the woman? If not, we're going to ask her to pray and close us out. There's people on the line. If no one wants to respond, because a lot of people come on and they don't respond, but we are grateful God, that you come on. Cause you go ahead, preacher. Go ahead, preacher.
Yeah, God bless you. I enjoyed the word. Man, it was powerful. I enjoyed everything you do. I love you, Pastor Canada. Love you, probably my mom. Love everybody. I love y'all with the love of Christ. The word was so powerful. Talking about the end times and. She's telling the truth. I'm a truck driver, and we hear about everything, the change going on with the economy and the thing that's happening. The truck drivers talk about it all the time. So the more time of anything changing when it comes down to our plants, like our food sources and our clothing, the truck drivers hear about it because that's the way most of our supplies come from the ship to the truck to the train, and that's how either planes and she's right about that. They're trying to do away with money. Most of the jobs you go on now, if you're trying to buy a snack, you got to use a card with a chip in it. They're not taking money anymore like I used to put cash inside the machine. Now it is going with a card now. And even some of the technical industries, now they're taking the chip already. And so that's what, if you really look at it, that's why I tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. You need God to help you. That you, everywhere you go, they got self-checkout. Then you can have self-checkout at the truck stop. And now they got to make the truck stop now where the truck driver's going. Unless we get fuel, we go to the cashier. But most of our stuff, we got to go to self-checkout. And that's what self-checkout is, getting everybody ready for that chip. That way when you come in, you don't have to have cash. They even got some stores in certain cities that I've been across. I travel across the United States as a truck driver. This is my career. This is what I do. And certain states you go in, you even got restaurants now where you just go in, you put your card up there, and the robots fix everything. They got a whole restaurant where the robot, you put whatever you want in, and the robot brings you the food out. They got it now. Walmart got a robot where they unload the trucks now. So she's telling the truth about that. I know people probably don't want to accept that. That's what's going to happen. but it's already happening in other countries. Well, they don't even use the dollar no more. They're going to a cryptocurrency. Well, you have to have either go by your credit or cryptocurrency. That's why now, if you really look, and everybody, it's right in our face. Most of the time, when you buy something, you're trying to purchase a house or a car. What they do, credit check. They want you to have a certain kind of credit score, and that's part of the B system for the cryptocurrency movement. Well, everything will go by your credit. They already doing the China. Well, they go by a certain credit score where you can buy, purchase things, and all that done. It's a new world order already started in other countries. It's already in Canada. Even on some jobs, certain jobs you get, like technical jobs, you can either get the chip or you can just do the card where you clock. You come in and you use your hand to scan yourself in. You clock in with your hand and then scan your hand. I had a job like that before. Well, we didn't have you just put your hand inside this machine and it scan your hand by your fingerprint. And so it's been before us for a while, but they're trying to pull out the red carpet, and that's why Joe Biden is giving away so much money. You look at the, you know, I'm not saying that you playing a lottery now, but if you look at it, giving away so much money, and they're just throwing money away because they're trying to, they know that the American dollar is no more in power. And so, and that's what the big argument, part of the big argument about is, you know, they done lost their superpower. America used to be the superpower of the whole world. Well, their money was able to be able to change around the world. Now, other countries have did away with American money. And so now when you go to other countries, you got to change in American money for the cryptocurrency or the Nero or whatever they want to call it, because the superpowers have changed from America. And, you know, not to discredit America. God gave blessed us a long time, but America has lost their superpower. And number one reason, because she has really made a covenant with devil hell. And she's the one, if you look at Revelation, it talks about the woman on the beach, and she had a cup of the, and she was drinking the cup of the saint and the blood. If you look at America, is that woman with the cup and the blood of the innocent, and the beast is the system. The beast, the system, is the, which is the Antichrist, is already here. It's all over the place. And it's, you know, I know it's hard for people to accept that, but it's nothing we can do. Our job is, like she was saying earlier, like the Bible says, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Every day you should be searching yourself. I'm looking at myself, man. I was talking the other day. I said, man, you know, I want to make sure I'm right with God. I ain't got no spots, rankings, or blemishes. But the Bible says, no, only the pure heart shall see God. And then when Jesus comes, you can't have no spots, no rankings, no blemishes. And even the Bible even says, he said, in that time when Jesus come, even the one that go to church every day gonna be lost. And we scarcely gonna make it in. The one that call clan Christ, go to church every Sunday or whatever, Saturday or whatever day you decide to go to worship God in the sanctuary, and we might not even make it in. So, you know, we really have to make sure that we walk in the car to the Word of God. I loved all the examples that she used. I was thinking about the movie I don't know if some of y'all saw it with Constantine, when he went in there, and, you know, he part of the Roman, you know, they used their own Catholicism to re-examine the Bible and rewrite the Bible by their movies and stuff to indoctrinate, to get you to believe their way instead of believing the way God believes. And in that movie, he had to go to this house where this young lady had an evil spirit that had overtook her in that house, and she was crawling out on the walls. And what he did to get the spirit out, he had to use a mirror. And the spirit in that, and that girl came out through the mirror. He had to use certain kind of symbols and stuff like that. And then when he got that girl, he told him to hold the mirror toward the door, toward the sunlight, where the sun at, and toward the window. So all that's kind of, that's powerful right there by itself. And then and that spirit, once he got that spirit in there, and he prayed or whatever he did, he cast that spirit into the mirror, and because that spirit, that evil spirit, was mesmerized by how it looked. It was so ugly and hideous looking, but in his eyes, it was beautiful. And then he got the spirit inside there. And once he got that spirit in there, that spirit was beating itself out of that mirror, because it trapped him in another realm through the mirror. And then once he got him out, he pushed him out through the sun. And then it shadowed, because he couldn't get out fast enough. That spirit trying to fight to get back in that woman's body. couldn't get out, but that was a similar way of casting the spirit out in their way, you know, in their theory of how they believe, you know. And so, you know, it's just so many things that, you know, God, see, that's what I love about living for the Heavenly Father. He's patient. His grace is everlasting. And I love about him that he don't want us to be blind. Even though, you know, I said this before, I think I said it on here and I preached this one time, that men and women of God, and people are like the ostrich. They see the storm coming, they try to put their head in the ground instead of warning people and accepting that we already there. They don't want to accept it. And so that's what, you know, we have to pray. You know, we got to pray for our sisters and brothers that God, because God wants us to know. He's not going to let Satan do something and not tell his children about it. And so he sent people that spend the time with him to warn us, even in the Bible. You know, you had prophets and stuff came and they warned you. God sent them to let them know, okay, this coming. And now if you do it this way, then I can help you win the battle. But if you don't, then this is what's going to happen. And so God is still doing the same thing in our time, trying to let us know, hey, this coming, y'all. Y'all get ready. This getting ready to come. Or they get ready. Even before the pandemic comes, God was warning us then, telling us, hey, do this, do that. And then God started He loved us so much, he put plants out there, all the dandelions all in the field. And then instead of us, they got us cutting them down and putting the stuff they put out there to kill the weeds and stuff, and not knowing that's medicine that God given us to let us know, hey, something coming. Y'all start taking this hill. And he give it through nature. Man, God is awesome how he is. God can see something coming, and he'll send his prophet or somebody to let them know, warn them, and let them know that something coming. And he ain't going to let the devil just do nothing to run rapid, and ain't nobody, he ain't going to tell nobody. God going to find somebody on this planet to let them know to warn somebody. I don't care how much the devil try to shut down what God's doing, God going to find a way to come through and say something. If he got to cause another birth to come in like he brought Christ in through Mary, he'll allow a woman to have another baby just so he can reach the nation of Israel. And that's the way God operates. He going to let us know. So that way we ain't got no excuse when stuff start happening. Oh, God, I already told you. I try to tell you. I let the devil, because the devil, he got to show his hand. He don't have a choice. That's why they put it in the movies and all that. They put it right in your face. But we just got to look at it and see what it is, and just ask God to help us to do better. But I just enjoy the word, you know, continue praying for each other, because we're not each other's enemy. The devil is our enemy. He accuses other brethren. Every day he's going back telling on us, telling God, see, why you getting number 10? They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. They do this, they do that. And then we find ourselves, don't be a tool for the devil. Don't be the tool for the devil. You cast the devil down and, nah, devil, you're not going to use me today to go against my brother. So you're not going to use me today to go against my own body, my temple. The devil is a lie. And so we got to really, cast all the things out that the enemy tried to do, because he's going to keep trying to influence. That rascal don't give up. He'll fight you to your death. You know how desperate he is when Moses died. He come trying to fight the angel over Moses' body. They had to rebuke him. Hey, hold on, the Lord rebuke you. You can't have Moses' body, because what he was going to do, take Moses' body and use that so they could worship Moses as a god. And God didn't want that, so he had to hide his body, and then he had to send an angel down to let the devil know, because Satan wanted to come down and say, acting like, because Moses had made some mistake, killed somebody, then he had to broke the covenant, and he had to rewrite it. The devil thought he had rights over Moses' body, and the angel had to, God had to send an angel down and let him know, hey, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. No, you can't have Moses. So that let you know he was that desperate. But Moses, he the same way with you. He want to get you. I don't care if you're on your dying bed, he still will try to tip you. You could be dying with cancer, and you got people that so entangled in sin that they know they got cancer, still smoking cigarettes. On a breathing machine, and still, that temptation still coming to them, still telling them smoking cigarettes. Asthma, and still smoking cigarettes. That devil don't care if you're about to die. He going to still try to tempt you all the way until you take your last breath. Knowing you could be about to lose your liver, and the devil say, oh, go and take that last drink. You know how it tastes. Put it in there, and then go and take that last drink. You know you like Hennessy, whatever your favorite drink was in the world, Hennessy or Cavassier. You know, everybody had their own, you know, gin, Night Train. You know, it just, you know, depends on, you know, what move you You know, the devil is still tempting you. You about to die. You on your dying bed. And he'll tell people, this ain't happened. But people be on their dying bed, still want to take that last cigarette. Man, let me get one more drag. And you about to die, go to hell. And the devil still want to take you out while you're in the bed. And you can be sick. And that's, and temptation still come on you to watch porno and masturbate. I'm telling you, that devil ain't no good, boy. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. I'm like, God, give me a devil portion, because I'm telling you, the Bible didn't lie. It said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but evil principality of rulers of darkness. And I like what she's talking about, that Halloween. That disgusts me. I hate Halloween. And I have to deliver that stuff because I deliver stuff for company. I'm not going to put the name out there. And I can't stand that they put all the Halloween stuff on the truck. And I said, Lord, I ain't got no part in this now. This is my job. I hate Halloween because it's like we sit here in this country, anything going in America. And then you have the churches now, they indulge in it. You see, when it come up, they try to make excuses by having a trunk or treat and a fall festival, and you still celebrating it. But then you can't tell people nothing because they don't know the depths of Satan. They don't understand. Then they got, like, I was looking in Lowe's, I went in there, they got these big old giant devil angels sitting in Lowe's. I'm like, man, these people are really crazy. Why would you want to celebrate something that look like that? Something that want to take your turn and take you out. They want to kill you. And you take it, you put them in them, and they got a whole band in the Lowe's right here in Jackson where they got a whole band with giant devil angels, one of them on a drum, and they playing music in the mall, in the Lowe's. And I said, man, these people crazy. And then when I came in, it was playing, but it stopped when I came in. I said, I hate you, devil. The Lord rebuked, and the whole band stopped playing. I got out of there, and then it started back. So I know someone had to be supernatural about it, but I can't stand it, though. I be want to burn that junk down. I hate what they're doing. Then you got all in the whole mall where they get doing Halloween, talking about they got spirits in Halloween. And it's just sad how we don't realize that we helping the devil with his tools. So you got to give him all his tools back and be like Jesus can and pray that he don't find nothing in us. But I thank God for the radio broadcast. I'm not going to re-preach. I pray, let's pray for each other that we go into perfection, that we get the anointing that God promised us, because the enemy want to stop us. He do not want us to fight against his kingdom. He'll use whatever little secret thing that we got, the secret little thing. Get rid of all your secrets, because he'll use that to stop you from doing the will of God. Anything he can do to attach himself to you, ask God to break the biblical cord, break the root it out, whatever it is, that way you can be full of God. God bless you. Y'all bless me.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones, for coming on in and adding to the sermon today and giving us some insight on what's going on in the different stores. You know, this is the enemy's time, and he is doing everything that he can do to distract and to destroy. The Bible said that Jesus will give you abundant life, more abundantly. That's more than you can handle, you know. Even when the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy, he said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we just have to trust in Jesus. You can't deviate from the path for 1 second, not 1 minute. You can't say, I'm going to get up today. And that's why every day, if you were in my house, you would hear me repenting. And I don't really go places, you know, as I see on Facebook. My circle is very small, you know, because I try to stay underneath the cloud and not the crowd. See, when you got the big crowd, you're going to find them, all of them, the big crowd is constantly gossiping. That is their MO. But when you're in a small, small circle, guess what happened? You're trying to help each other to grow, small circle. They're trying to help one another. They're not trying like crabs in a bucket, a whole bunch of crabs in a bucket. They're trying to pull down each other. Don't want nobody to get up. Somebody always think they know the all. But I thank God and praise God, man, I tell you, for us few that are here together and the one that's standing. Last Sunday, I preached in a church in Boston, and I'm going to be the pastor of the church. You know, I felt for the last 13 or 14 years, God did not want me to go and start a church. I have I've given a lot of church leaders microphones, the sound system, speakers, microphone stands, the what you call the control board. We have sold that in many churches in this country, and in Africa, and in the Caribbean. We have sold into a lot of churches, you know. But the Lord now says it's time for me to step out and go and release the truth in the building, into the hearts of the people, because so many people are still preaching that prosperity message and telling people you're all right as long as you come to the building. No, you can go to the building all day long. You can stay in the building all day, but that's not going to make you help you to get to heaven. If you're not living the commandments, if you're not following his statutes, if you're not obeying his word, you're not going to make it in. Not going to make it in. And for Jesus said that many shall come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I did this and did that in your name. They were going to church. They were preaching. They were singing. They were playing the keyboard. They were playing the drums. Oh, they were playing the guitar. They was doing all the stuff that you do. You know, we know what to do inside the church building. But when you're outside the building, do you know how to live? That's where it really hits the rubber hits the road, meets the road. We have to live this thing. You know, when folk come together, Minister Jones, Providence, people come together, talk a whole big talk with all. We are God people. We are for Yeshua. We are for Yahweh. We are all this. But as soon as done saying we for Yahweh and people, Emmanuel, they start gossiping about other people. That's not church folk stuff. That's the enemy stuff. Church folk don't gossip. True church folk, true believers in Christ don't gossip. We don't have that time. That's wasteful time. We spend time of elevating each other, showing each other what they didn't know. Somebody's telling me something that I don't know because I don't know it all, helping me to grow spiritually. That's what church folk, true church folk does that, believers in Christ Jesus. But you have others, they're just looking for, they're just critiquing you to find a mistake that you make. Then they can go ahead and tell this body, tell the next body, and tell the next body. That's what they're doing. The Bible said that he despised, talking with God, he despised the talebearer. That's gossiping. He don't like it. So we have to stand together as one and help each other. I don't have time. Minister Jones, prophetess, I don't have time, apostle. I don't have time to talk about people. I stay here in my little cocoon. That the Lord called me up and said, well, you got a job. Go do the job. Make some money. Help somebody. Or go preach. Well, I preached in this church last Sunday, and they said they want me to be the pastor. And I got a call yesterday, and I have to go down Sunday, and I preach another message Sunday. I'll be preaching Sunday if the Lord say the same. And I've just went on the phone and ordered some cordless microphones, and hopefully I'm going to have to get a system, you know, get a good system for it, the place, you know, good speaker system, you know, sound system, you know, so that we can preach the gospel with clarity and reach people in love and compassion. We're not going there to make money. Going there to win souls. Win souls. So this, I need you all to pray for me that God will protect me while I'm down Boston. Because in Boston, you know, people just shoot one another for no reason. But we already declared that we are protected by the blood of Jesus and that no weapons formed against us will prosper. Because we're going in love. We're going in love. You know, we were down there last Sunday, and everybody that see me on the street was speaking to me, you know. And but you still got to stay watchful and prayerful, you know. I still got to get on the morning prayer, you know. I have to get on the morning prayer line. I got the number in my book. I got to get on there in the morning prayer line, and may it come on tomorrow morning if the Lord say the same. And I'm able to get up to sleep and get in there. I got to push myself to get in there and pray. Once I get in the routine, I'll be there. Well, we're thanking God and praising God because God is doing miracles. God is doing miracles. You know, I show you how awesome God is to us. I had a card for this music company, and something went on. They want to. It wasn't a lot of money I had on the card. I think I had what would be $700 or something for the card. You know, to get a little box here or stuff. And all of a sudden they had dropped it a few years ago. They dropped the credit limit from $700 to like $500, $400. Some crazy foolish stuff that went on. So I didn't hold them many. I said, look, I'm just closing the card. They said, if you close, you can't get back another card. Well, just not too long ago, while prophets were speaking, our Lord just said, look, you don't need to do anything. Just go and apply for the card, and you'll get the microphones you need for the church. And I said, well, I got to look, see, speakers, because right now they got a one speaker over there. The guy that rent the church early in the morning, going there early, 7:30, 8:30, they start their service. They're out of there by 10:30. They got one little box, you know, and they got an amplifier they're speaking to, speaker box. So I need to get some stuff. So I went on site while the wife's prophets was speaking. That says, float the application. So I said, well, I just want about $2,500. I could get $5,000, $10,000 if I wanted to. And the Lord told me. And it took me about three seconds. And I filled out a short little form. And they sent me back. And it says that I approve for the $2,500. Is that all you want? So I said, yeah, that's all I need, $2,500. So they have enough money on the card that if I were to buy the speakers, $8,000, $10,000, I can go get the speakers. And so, but, you know, this is what God does. If you're living right and doing right, no good thing will he withhold from you. I don't have time, Apostle. I don't have time, Prophetess, to really talk about anybody. That's the truth. I don't get in the house and talk to my wife or nobody. She can't tell her, come to her and say, well, you know, Evangelist seeing this, Deacon seeing this, Elder seeing this. I'm going to tell my wife that stuff. When people get and talk behind my back and cut me up and I get to know that they're talking, I'm going to tell my wife, say, well, you know, people talk, I said, I don't know that. I said, let God fight my battle. I just let God fight my battle. I just step away from the people, leave them alone. I don't have to have no crawl with them and let God fight my battle because I'm walking this walk. I'm not talking it. I'm walking it. I am who I said I am. But God said I am. I am who that person. So I thank God for you all. Mr. Jones, go ahead and pray and close us out. My baby just come back here from the eye specialist, and they say she got to get some kind of surgery, so I'm going to go talk
yes,
to
sir.
Her now and see some more about that. Okay?
Yes, all right, sir.
Just pray and
yes,
close
sir.
Us out. Thank you,
sir. First, we're going to lift you up, you know, for the new ministry that God has blessed you with, and we're going to pray that God sent an anointing for you to do his will. And for you to continue preaching his will. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Apostle Canada. Lord, God, you have blessed him with a new task, Lord, to be a leader. God, you said, God, you give us pastors after your own heart. So, God, Lord, you the one only can ordain and hire and fire. So we ask you, Lord, to anoint him for his calling. God, give him everything he needs financially, whatever it may be. Send people in, Lord, that's full of your anointing, God, that can help him, God, that's after truth in the name of Jesus, God. We cast down anything that the enemy tried to set before him, try to destroy what you're trying to do in this life. We plead the blood of Jesus, even on this radio broadcast, God, that you move by your power, by your spirit. Bring unity amongst us, Lord. You said, God, Lord, love towards the love one another. You told your disciples that the world would know that we are your disciples. So, Lord, we pray for him. We lift him up today in the name of Jesus, knowing you can do a seat above all we ask or think according to your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for those that are sick, God, that need strength today, God, that you, God, send your healing in the name of Jesus, Lord. You said with your stripes we are healed, so, Lord, those that need strength today, Lord, this afternoon or this morning, wherever area it may be across the world, Lord, we pray for them God, that you send your healing in the name of Jesus. God, you're greater than any sickness or disease. God, you're a healer. You're still a way maker. So, Lord, we thank you for your healing, Lord. We pray for prophecy, Lord, the one brought forth the word, God. You continue pouring back in her your anointing, your power, your revelation, God, that she'll continue to do your will and your work in the name of Jesus, God. And we forever bless your name and give your name the glory, honor, in Jesus' name, God. Cover us with your blood as we go out and about today. Help us to be a light, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, in the dying world, God. Help us to be a light, God, that those that need to know you, God, that we live up a standard, God, with your name in Jesus' name. God, let your power rest upon us, God, and your anointing, God. Give us a devil portion of your anointing that we'll do your will, pray your will, preach your will, walk in your will. And, God, we forever bless your name, give your name glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you, sir. Have a blessed day, safe day. Thank God for your wife that she comes on and hear the word. We should be back here tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock, if the Lord say the same, and we are in the land of the living. God bless you all. Have a safe day. Remember, we love you, but the Lord Jesus loves you even more. So have a blessed day. Bye-bye.